title is a little, it's called Identity, and I know that seems a little vague, but we're going to just jump right into that. And I'm probably not even going to need 20 minutes for this. I'm probably going to blow past it in 10, so we'll see how this goes. But I want to start in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26. It says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And I think that these verses are incredibly powerful because they really speak to me as a Christian and as someone who is striving to live my life according to the Word of God. And it speaks a little about who I am. And what I have to say is nothing extraordinary. It's nothing crazy. It's very simple. But it's one thing to have knowledge. It's one thing to know that the promises in the Word of God and the things that God has given to us. But it's another thing to act on it and to live with intention, to live these things out, to believe that what He wrote and that what is written in this Word is true and I can apply it to my life. And it's something that is going to keep me through whatever comes my way. And so what I've seen just in my short amount of traveling and meeting different people is that there are many Christians who are faithful, who come to church, who maybe have just started coming or even have been in church their whole lives, but have not yet fully activated the Word of God in their lives. They aren't even living to their full potential because they don't realize what it is. Maybe it's because they don't realize what they have. Maybe it's just that it hasn't quite clicked. Sometimes it seems as if and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but just believing God for enough, but not believing Him for everything. But we have got to get it in our minds and our spirits, who we are, what we have in Christ, because that makes us different. That's what separates us. That's what gives us the, what we need through this journey of life. So in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church there, and you could tell that he's really frustrated when he's writing. He is just, he's talking to them because they've fallen off the wagon a little bit. They received the word that he came to them originally and preached, and they received the gospel, but they've kind of come to a place where they were striving to attain righteousness through works. And they were trying to be good enough. They're trying to attain it somehow by their own actions. And Paul is writing to them, and he's saying, you know, and he talks about in chapter 3, he's talking about, you know, how this righteousness isn't through works. It's through faith. It's by receiving it. It's by believing it. How do we receive righteousness? There's no possible way that any of us in this room could do enough good works to ever attain righteousness. There's nothing we could ever do to earn it. Because we just couldn't do it. There's just nothing we can do. But what Jesus did on the cross, what he did, had the price that he paid for us, made it possible for us to receive something that we could never have anywhere else. And so Paul is talking to them about this idea of righteousness through faith. And he was talking about the law. Why was the law written? You know, the law was, how would we ever know, you know, what good and evil is unless the law was written? How would we know these things unless it was written? It was written for the purpose of showing us that there is good and evil, that there is a right and a wrong. And so and it was written between the time that Abraham received the promise and the time when Christ would come, robed himself in flesh and became, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so there is no grace or mercy in it. There's no mercy in the law. It's like the Bible says that if you do wrong just at one point, you've broken the whole law. You've broken it all. And but that's not how we receive our righteousness. Thank God that we don't have to receive it by living this lifestyle of just, I can't do anything wrong. I can't do wrong because, you know, the wages of sin is death. But because of what we've been given, we have access to something that is so extraordinary. I'm so thankful for that. So he's talking to them, and one of the verses that really just stuck out to me, and this was in verse 27. It says, "For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves in Christ." I think that is so powerful. Baptism is so powerful. Why is it powerful? What is it about going down in water that makes something so powerful? What is it about that is extraordinary? And in verse, let me see where it is. In Romans chapter, in chapter 6, it says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So what is he saying there? He's saying that we identify with Christ whenever we've been baptized, and we come and we're identifying in that burial of, you know, everything in our past has been washed away. But it doesn't just end there. It doesn't just end at a burial. But when we come up, we have received a newness of life. Our whole life has changed. Our whole identity has changed. Everything about us has changed. We're no longer the same person that we were before. That means that our past no longer has a hold on us. Our family, our history, anything that would try to say, no, this is who you are, this is what you are, no longer do those chains hold us anymore. That's not who we are. We are the children of God. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. How amazing is that? That we are no longer just orphans, just running around, just whatever, just trying to make it in this world. But we have a heavenly Father who is looking out for us, who we are not alone. We are not forsaken. We have this precious God who is looking out for us. I am so thankful. I don't know where I would be if God had not come and he had not saved my soul. Because of what he has done, I live in freedom. I live in liberty. And each one of us has that power active in our life. We have to activate that. We have to realize who it is that we are. You know, we're living in a time where there is identity theft, and where there's, you know, there's just all kinds of just craziness going on in this world. I don't know if anyone here has had your identity stolen, but it would be a kind of a scary situation to have to change all of your numbers, have to figure out everything because somebody stole that from you. And the enemy is trying in this time more than ever, because we are living in the last days, because we are at a time where it is crucial, where you can feel something about to break, where you know that we know that God is coming soon, that he is not going to wait around forever, but he is getting us ready so that he can come back and get us. Now is the time that the enemy is trying his best to get into our minds and trying to make us think that we are just surviving in this life, just making it in this present time, in this society that we live in, that we should, you know, not speak out too loudly because there are people that are so against. They're just so against religion, like Michael was talking about. Our generation is so quick to judge, so quick to say, you know, oh, you know, you don't even know what you believe. You're just, you know, you believe in something, you know, crazy or whatever. It is crazy to believe in something that we can't see, but we know that it's real because of that liberty that we have, because of what Christ has done in our lives. We have that hope. We have that liberty. We hold on to that. We're a banner. Every one of us is a banner for the word of God, for him, and to be a light in this world because of what he's done for us. And it's so important for us to remember that and to know that, to not just have that knowledge, but again, to live it in our lives, to activate it in our lives, to know that we are not nothing, that we are not just alone, but that we have promises in the word of God that apply to us. Because we have lived our lives in submission to God, because we're saying, I'm living my life according to this word, so the promises apply to me. So whatever is written in this book, it is mine to hold on to whenever situations come in life and whenever things try to happen to us. In Romans chapter 8, this is one of my most favorite books in the whole Bible. I love Romans, just period. But Romans chapter 8 is very special to me, and it holds many great promises. But it says in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor the future, nor any power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. I am so thankful that God has called me not just as a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. He didn't call me to just survive in life and just to believe Him for just enough. I feel like so often we only believe God for what we think is conceivable and what we think is reasonable and what we think is, you know, is just realistic. I don't really like that word realistic, because we are a God that we serve, a God who is not realistic. He is the God of the impossible. He is the one who spoke and our whole world just came into being. How many are thankful for that in our lives, that we have that? I'm just going to end with a couple verses here. It just says, "In all things work together for the good for them who love God and are called according to His purpose." He said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." He said, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat or where you're going to sleep or what you're going to wear, because your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things." That's who I am. That's our identity. That's what we have in Christ. And I'm so thankful for that today. And let's just take a moment just to thank Him for who we are in Christ. God, we worship You. Thank You, God, that You have called us to so much more. God, I pray that You would help us to activate this Word of God in our lives, God, that it would be alive, that we would live it every day, every moment, to know that who we are in You, Jesus. We thank You, God, in Jesus' name.